Oh, Kira, congratulations. Look at her tiny fingers. She's beautiful, just like her mommy.
Oh, thank you.
Have you got a name yet?
Well, we're thinking
she's going to call her Brooklyn. Brooklyn, Massachusetts, Phoenix, Arizona.
Your vote is your voice. So if you don't speak up, someone else is deciding for you.
Baltimore, Kentucky, Murphy O'Neill.
Who is that?
Hospital porter. Just back from his American road trip.
Make sure you're registered to vote. Go to checktheregister.ie and be a voter so that it's your voice that's heard. From Am Comisiún Toghcháin, Ireland's Independent Electoral Commission.
Oh, Brookie Massachusetts, come to Auntie Hannah.
On this week's Big Tech Show, how will the latest developments in artificial intelligence affect your life? Will you get new powerful personal assistants? Are you in danger of something terrible happening? We explain what's going on.
Just a couple of weeks ago, Anthropic, which is OpenAI competitor, their startup lab, actually founded by former OpenAI employees, they actually eclipsed GPT-4 only just a couple of weeks ago with their latest model, and the internet went crazy. This is just better than GPT-4 at everything. So OpenAI had to respond to that.
The Big Tech Show, available on all podcast platforms.
If you like the Indo Daily, you can follow us on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming soon, Shadows of Saipan. The fallout in Saipan between Mick McCarthy and Roy Keane divided the nation.
Captain Roy Keane was threatening to abandon the side at the very moment he was needed most.
My thought when it was going off, they are absolutely going to come to blows here.
It's been a troublesome 24 hours in paradise for Roy Keane.
Some personal problems which are personal to him, and he has to go home.
And I went for my meal at 6:30 on the Thursday, and I was told there was a meeting at 7:30. And I knew what it was all about. I knew.
Roy was sat beside me and Roy said it's going to go off tonight. That's what he said to me.
In the middle of it, Mick came in and he had a notebook in his hand and he just said, Roy, there's an article in there.
Mick didn't really say an awful lot.
Returning from training today, he refused to comment on his decision to quit the World Cup the night before.
And boom, that was it. Roy went.
20 years on, the Indo Daily revisits the story.
Today on the Indo Daily, laughing with us, not at us. Irish comedies hit gold in the UK.
Rowan. Up his arse, that's him, yes. Very generous, why? What did he do?
Whether it's Derry Girls or Mrs. Brown's Boys, yes, some folk do love it, Irish comedy is dominating British TV.
Kidneys. Heart. Liver. That was a donor form. No, it wasn't the feckin' breakfast menu.
So what is the secret of this small screen success? And are these comedies and shows gone before them far more than a fleeting laugh?
Hello there, Father.
Hello, Colm. Out and about?
I am. Same as yourself.
Good, good.
I hear you're a racist now, Father.
I'm Fionnán Sheehan, and joining me today for a chinwag on comedy exports is Irish independent columnist and fellow telly addict Tania Sweeney. Tania, go on, go on, go on. Tell us, what's your favourite Irish comedy series and explain to me why?
Yeah, well, I mean, I know I can't say Catastrophe, even though it is kind of half Irish and there's lots of Irish characters. It has a US co-writer and is based in London, so we'll disqualify that one, which is one of my all-time favorites. But I think after Derry Girls kind of sign off, it really has just landed into my all-time favorites. It was absolutely like chef's kiss stuff. It really was. And I won't offer any spoilers. To wrap it all up the way they did and to provide a lightness of touch about something very, very monumental and serious in Northern Irish history, I mean, it was just absolutely tonally perfect to me.
Is that though because you're being gripped by nostalgia, sentiment, and the charm of the 90s period that it is depicting? If you're a younger audience, are you going to get the same value from it?
It's just a little exercise I like to kick off with.
Give me strength.
I want you guys to give me examples of things that Catholics and Protestants have in common and things that they don't have in common. Let's start with similarities. Erin, why don't you get the ball rolling?
Okay. So we both... Right. So we all... God, this is actually...
Well, it's funny because I've seen on Twitter, you know, there's lots of, and on TikTok, I mean, there seems to be lots of people who were not alive in the 90s, you know, and maybe still only teenagers now, and they're finding resonance in that school girl experience. I think the one thing about Derry Girls that happens is, you know, and we saw it in the last couple of episodes, Erin's mum has decided she wants to go to college. And Erin's reaction is, but I want to be the first in the family to go to college. I mean, every teenager in the world, you know, is going to either relate to have been like that or will go, yeah, I can be a little bit kind of narcissistic like that, you know. And yeah, I do think younger audiences are really enjoying it. Also, youth culture right now is very 90s centric. I mean, I walk around Grafton Street and I see loads of like bomber jackets and chokers and all the stuff we were wearing back in the 90s. So it's kind of landed back on trend, weirdly enough. But enough about me and Derry Girls, Fionnán. What about you? What's your favourite comedy?
You're picking Derry Girls, and it's interesting because you're choosing, there's a quite serious historical backdrop, social backdrop behind it. I would go for Father Ted.
We're in lingerie.
What's the problem there, Ted?
Think about it. Two priests hanging around near ladies' secret things. It just doesn't look good. Where is the exit? God, look, we're in bras. This way. Billy! Terry!
Ted Quilly. How are you?
Good to see you both. We got a bit lost in the store, that's why we're here. We got a bit lost. I suppose that's why you're here as well.
Lost. Yeah.
That's right.
Yep, that's it.
That's it, exactly.
We're lost.
I don't suppose you know the way out of here.
It's Ireland's biggest lingerie section, I understand.
Really?
Yeah, I read that somewhere.
But again, there was kind of a serious undertone to all that at the end of the day, because it was portraying Ireland's relationship with religion and having a good laugh at it. And when that show, when Graham Lennon and Arthur Matches conceived that, it was a surreal comedy. You couldn't conceive that any of this stuff was happening. And yet at the same time, people were looking at it going, oh, this is a bit edgy here now, isn't it? And there's those three priests and there's all sorts of moral ambiguity and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
And the Irish audience probably didn't get it at the start, where the British audience did, and the Irish audience probably came back in later. But again, brilliant casting.
Father, do you ever have any doubts about the religious life? Is your faith ever tested? Anything you've been worried about? Any doubts you've been having about any aspects of belief? Anything like that?
Well, you know the way God made us all, right? And he's looking down at us from heaven and everything.
Uh-huh.
And then his son came down and saved everyone and all that.
Yes.
And when we die, we're all going to go to heaven.
Yes. What about it?
Well, that's the bit I've trouble with.
You know, Dermot Morgan, who was so familiar to Irish audiences, but not to UK audiences, Ardal O'Hanlon, a newcomer at the time, and Frank Kelly, and Pauline McLean, established names. But again, a bit like Derry Girls, very gettable, probably, you know, lasted the test of time quite well.
Yeah, I have a feeling there'll be a couple of memes that will come out of Derry Girls in the same way that they have done. I mean, if you think of Father Ted, think of all those kind of sayings that have just landed into kind of everyday parlance. You know, that would be an ecumenical matter. Yeah. I mean, everyone in Ireland and the UK, I suppose, to some extent, knows what a lovely girls competition is. And I do wonder with Father Ted, had its fate been the same, had it originated on RTE? You have to look at it this way. It came on Channel 4. Channel 4 at the time, back in the 90s, was a real broadcasting firebrand. You know, they took the risks that nobody else was going to take. And I think that fed into the way people, especially in the UK, consumed stuff on Channel 4, and specifically Father Ted, you know. And I mean, it's an interesting one because Father Ted, and to some extent Derry Girls, like you're saying, these slightly problematic points in our history and our culture, I mean, any other culture would probably react to those moments with negativity, anger, shame. But the Irish are very unique in a way. They have this sort of humorous resilience that we kind of throw at everything. When something awful happens, in Ireland, you'll notice that the default reaction is to kind of make a joke out of it, you know. And there's something very, very powerful in that, and the way it treats parts of history.
Our sense of humour kind of translates across the sea. I mean, I could point as well to the Irish RM, which again is set at turn of the century Ireland. It's almost us laughing at them, laughing at us, in that the butt of the joke is constantly the major and the British aristocracy, but at the same time the gags are all carried out by the Irish characters. So again, serious backdrop, bit of a laugh. Now, right, let's pick one that you could argue does have a good social backdrop to it, whether that's, and it probably is intentional, and I want to get your view on it. Mrs. Brown's Boys. How does that fit into the canon that we're talking about here? What's your view on it? Or do you just think that's the British just laughing at something that we don't really laugh at here?
Well, you know what? It's funny. I interviewed Fiona O'Carroll, who is Brendan O'Carroll's daughter, last week.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Mrs. Brown's Boys.
She's Mrs. Brown.
And I put it to her and I said, why? What is it that we're, that you know, why are the viewing figures of this show, especially in the UK, why are they so gargantuan? I mean, it is one of the BBC's biggest offerings. And she kind of hit it on the head. She just said, the dysfunctional family and the devoted matriarch who's irrepressible and just absolutely devoted to her family, that is a universal trait. And no one does it by the same reckoning. No one does it better than the Irish, than the idea of family and loyalty. And I suppose the fact that Brendan O'Carroll has used a number of his family members within the project feeds into the idea that Mrs. Brown's Boys is kind of the scaffolding is the idea of family and loyalty, you know. I mean, to me, the humour is very broad strokes. I personally prefer my humour to be a little bit more kind of fine, a bit more vicious. But, you know, Mrs. Brown's Boys is very warm and cuddly. And there's a reason. I mean, people think it's a massive comedic outlier, you know, but it's not.
Can I ask you, moving from Mrs. Brown to a new generation, I suppose, of emerging Irish talent? I can go back in the days and say, look, the ground that's been trod now by these talented Irish actresses, the likes of Anna Monaghan, Mrs. Cadogan in the Irish RM, Pauline McLean being so fantastic and such an iconic figure as Mrs. Doyle in Father Ted, you know, they were groundbreaking characters.
Again called for cross-party peace talks.
Joe's really dying for peace, like, isn't he? It's all he ever goes on about. I hope it works out for him.
I sort of hope it works out for all of us there.
Come on, girls. Time to hit the road here. Have the rope tune to go on as well, son?
Rope tune? Hardly. He's riding Gary Barlow.
I'm not. I just respect him as a songwriter, that's all.
I did on James, so you do.
Well, we need our passports, Jerry.
Belfast? I don't think so, love.
Belfast?
We're not about early, Daddy.
It's a 2-hour drive of traffic, love.
That stinks in Belfast!
But it's 8 hours till the door's open.
I know. We're cutting it fine.
Belfast! Sure, why don't you just sell away and send to white slavery and be done with it?
Jerry, I'll be with them, Dad.
Well, that's worse. Should they hate his kind there?
My kind?
Pricks.
But you're now also, apart from actresses, you're seeing strong Irish female writers coming forward.
Oh my God, what are you wearing?
What?
Where'd you get that?
Forever 21.
Well, that's a bit of fucking irony if I ever heard it.
Oh, is it awful? I thought it looked kind of Wonder Woman-y.
I know, it's just a bit prostitute-y.
Anya!
Shona!
Sharon Horgan, Aisling Bee, Lisa McGee with Derry Girls. Why do you think where is this era of Irish female writers come from?
I mean, you could map the coordinates out and, you know, cite people like Maureen Potter or to some extent Twink or Deirdre O'Kane, you know, as, you know, people who blaze that trail, you know. But I think the jet stream that people like Sharon Horgan and Aisling Bee are travelling in and Joanne McNally, I think it's more a case that they're travelling in the jet stream of someone like Marion Keyes or Maeve Binchy. You know, they're very, very character driven, you know. They create characters that are flawed, that are going through huge catastrophes, pardon the pun, in life, and yet can still laugh at themselves and find lightness and be able to kind of, you know, dance in the mirror while you know, holding their hairbrush, you know. So I do think, you know, there's something in the Irish literature, commercial literature especially, that has really kind of paved or laid the brickwork, I suppose, for those writers. Yeah, and for that, sure.
I know you mentioned while you're mentioning Sharon Horgan and Catastrophe, I'd mention Sharon Horgan and Motherhood, which probably related more to me after becoming a parent in the last couple of years. Where do you think that we're going to see these Irish writers go from strength to strength now, or are we just going through a phase?
Oh God, I don't think it's a phase at all. I mean, it's been proven now, you know, unequivocally, that audiences love, you know, this sort of offering, you know, female focused, female centered, talking about the realities of motherhood or mental illness or getting older, you know.
So sneaky. Imagine loving you so much that he'd want you to live in his mahoosive house rent free.
And anyway, you know, if I move in, then what next? Either break up or get married.
God, I wish you guys would get married so I can do my hilarious best man speech. Honestly, my opening gag is
What's your opening gag?
Oh, I'm not going to tell you because I want the look on your face on the day to be real.
Right, well, I've no interest in marriage, so you may as well tell me now.
Shona, don't say that. If you don't get married, I can't get married because it's bad luck and unnatural for the younger sister to wed before the elder.
Stop talking about it now, okay, because I'm getting stressed. I'm going to do my back in a rush.
No, last time I did this one, my hands were brown for 2 days.
Just do it. It's wash off. What were you doing in Green Park the other night?
Oh, Shona! I'll unmatch you on Find My Phone if you don't stop stalking me. You're like a creepy uncle.
I'm not stalking.
I mean, I remember speaking to Catelyn Moran, and, you know, she had a comedy that she wanted to bring to a British broadcaster who will remain nameless. And the commission turned around and went, we already have our female comedy for the year. Now, that was about maybe 10 years ago. It's absolutely not the case now. And a lot of that has to do with people like Sharon Horgan and Aisling B, who have just created these completely devoted audiences around them and communities around them. And I mean, at this point, commissioners are on the back foot. They're trying to kind of capture that lightning in a bottle again and again and again. You know, the only risk that the scene runs now is that it'll be almost too saturated with comedy and Irish women, you know. And but there are so many fantastic, like, you know, even aside from you know, Sharon Horgan and Aisling B, you've people like Philippa Dunn, you know, who's in Derry Girls, you know, who started life in a sketch troupe as a writing the sketch troupe. I mean, just fantastic presence in the UK scene right now. And Joanne McNally is making inroads, albeit in stand-up. But, you know, the stand-up TV crossover isn't long in coming. So, you know, there's quite a few of them that I think will make great inroads in the future.
Yeah, and also great platform, you'd have to say, for Irish comedians. I mean, Uncle Colm is effectively Kevin McAleer's comedy sketch that he did in the late 80s, early 90s on Nighthawks, which was it's the exact same delivery and script. Other Irish comedians, though, that have resonated with people, I suppose what sticks in the mind over the last decade or two, and these are people who have gone on to very big things in the UK and across the Atlantic as well. Chris O'Dowd and the IT Crowd.
Hello, IT. Have you tried turning it off and on again?
Graham Norton's manic character in Father Ted, which was rather like Graham Norton in his early days. But we look at Graham now, and very much becoming the successor to Terry Wogan. And it's like the Irishman has dominated the chat show in the BBC. Is that because we can get away with more because we're not British, in inverted commas?
That's a great point. I think, you know, there's definitely a bit of truth in that, you know, and I think, you know, people like Terry Wogan and Graham Norton, they're just natural chatters, you know. I mean, the fact is, the British think of the Irish as having a fantastic sense of humour, a very earthy sense of humour, a reverent sense of humour. And to some extent, that's true. The more you keep saying it, the more true it gets, I suppose, you know. So in a way, Irish comedians or funny people who are trying to make inroads in UK have that behind them, and it definitely gives them a little bit of horsepower, you know. The other thing as well is there's lots of comedians who have Irish parents who have a very Irish irreverent sense, but people like, you know, Jimmy Carr, you know, who's one of the giants, I suppose, of the UK comedy scene. Like, there's something in the way the Irish look at the world.
Spike Milligan, you know, I know, born in India, you know, but of Irish heritage, you know, you look at the influence that the Goons then had on Monty Python, which, you know, you can follow that path through to Father Ted and the whole the issue of surrealism and even into latter day sketches. Yeah. What about the stereotypes issue? If you look at David Kelly playing Mr. O'Reilly, the bungling builder in Fawlty Towers. If you look at Frank Kelly's father, Jack, are we kind of happy with the portrayal of the Irish stereotype, or are we just having a bit of a laugh at it and that's grand?
Yeah, well, you'd never get away with it really in this day and age, I don't think, you know. But it's interesting that when the stereotypes are presented to the Irish audience, we don't get too offended. Have you noticed that? I mean, I think in some ways, you know, when you present an Irish stereotype to an Irish person, they kind of go, well, yeah, you know, I mean, they don't get incredibly offended about the fighting thing or the drinking thing or the cursing thing. They, you know, we're fairly kind of mild when it comes to reacting against our own stereotypes, I find. And I mean, it's interesting with Father Ted and Frank Kelly and Father Jack, you know, because in a way he was askew on the stereotypical priest, which we appreciated. They all were, you know, I mean, none of them could be described as holier than thou, you know, but I think the Irish in many ways are clever enough to take a cliche and maybe skew it a little bit so that it's a little bit of a fresh take on things. However, if a British comedy series had a, like you say, a drunken builder or, you know, something like that from you know, Offaly or wherever, I'm not sure it would necessarily go down too well right now.
Yeah, we have to be kind of laughing with them rather than them laughing at us is kind of the...
Exactly.
Is kind of the...
That's the balance.
The lesson of it.
That's exactly.
At the end of the day, though, Tanya, are we just better crack than the British? Is it all just it's a pretty funny bunch of people over in Ireland, and our comedy just translates very well to a British audience?
Yeah, I mean, look at it this way. Have a look at, say, Gogglebox Ireland and Gogglebox in the UK. I mean, you'll notice that the flavours of comedy and the flavour of banter is, to me now, so much more fluid, irreverent, salty in Ireland than it is in the UK. Now, I mean, I think it would be remiss of us to say, you know, the British don't have a sense of humour. They have a phenomenal sense of humour, but there's something kind of biting. And, you know, in a way, the Irish have nothing to lose when it comes to their humour. So they just kind of go all out with it, you know. So, yeah, we're hilarious. I mean, I'm speaking for myself now, obviously. So funny, yeah.
Which, one final question. If there was, which Derry girl do you see yourself the most in? And now you picked Derry girls, not me. Pick one of the 4/5, if you include the wee English fella. Which of them reminds you most of yourself as a teenager?
I was going to say Michelle on the streets, Uncle Colin in the sheets, but that's not true. I just wanted to put that joke out there. You know what? I was a bit of a Michelle. I was a bit gobby. I was a bit of a, you know, let's get things started. I always walked our gang into trouble. And I was always a little bit, you know, too horny for my for everyone else's liking. So yeah, I was a bit of a Michelle, I'd say. Yeah.
Right, so if they're making a Derry Girls version south of the border, we know who to get in contact with.
Yeah. Blanchardstown girls, yeah.
Careful now, Tanya. Down with that sort of thing. Thanks a million, and the money will be resting in your account. I'm Fionnán Sheehan, and today's episode of The Indo Daily was produced by Siobhan Maguire, researched by Tabitha Monaghan, with sound by John Smith. archive clips from RTE, the BBC and Channel 4. And if you enjoy the InnoDaily, don't forget to like, follow and leave us a review.